WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israel and Hamas have reached a ceasefire and hostage release deal. CBS's Margaret Brennan says the hostage releases will come in phases.
If it holds, even just through this weekend, we could see some families reunited. And of course, that has huge meaning for those who have been missing their loved ones since that horrific October 7th attack.
Hamas is still holding about 100 hostages, a third of whom are believed to be dead. Sports reporter Erica Herskowitz tells us about a big score for women's college basketball.
For years, men's college basketball teams have been paid for playing games in the NCAA tournament. And finally today, the Division I Board of Governors voted unanimously to start paying the women's basketball teams as well.
Another shot fired in the war between hip-hop stars Drake and Kendrick Lamar.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
Drake has sued his own label, Universal Music Group, for defamation over Lamar's diss track, Not Like Us. UMG is also Lamar's label. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is asking anglers to help curb the spread of invasive species while they're out on the water this winter. According to a press release, aquatic invasive species and fish diseases can be spread when anglers empty the water from their bait buckets or fish containers in different bodies of water, even in harsh winter conditions. Officials are reminding anglers to drain all the water from their buckets at the site where they filled them and remove things like mud or plants from their gear before leaving. State Republicans have approved a constitutional amendment proposal for voter ID requirements on the April ballot. Requiring ID for voting is already the law in Wisconsin, but if voters approve the amendment during the April election, it will be enshrined in the state constitution. State Democrats criticized the measure, saying photo ID requirements disproportionately makes it more difficult for people of color, disabled residents, and those struggling financially to vote. Governor Evers also renewed calls to allow citizens to propose constitutional amendments. Construction on a new multi-million-dollar housing project in Ladysmith is finally finished. Governor Tony Evers and local officials visited the new Lindu School Apartments and Townhomes site on Monday for a ribbon-cutting ceremony. The $13 million project features 40 new housing units, including 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom apartments in the historic school. The site also features an ADA-accessible playground and a concrete skate park. The project received a number of grants and tax credits to offset construction costs. City of Chetek officials say they're making solid progress on plans for the new Chetek Sports Complex at Gotham Park, but may need a bit more financial assistance to get there. According to parks officials, the city was seeking a donation goal of $235,000 for the project, but have raised just over $180,000 so far. The city is continuing to accept donations and seek grant funding for the facility, and if funding is solidified, they plan to break ground in the spring and complete the project by the end of the summer. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks topple the Kings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks took command in the first quarter and beat the Sacramento Kings 130-115. Giannis Antetokounmpo with his 50th career triple-double on getting off to a fast start.
We had like a pace about us, I think, in the first quarter. And we were just making shots, too. I think we scored like 45 points, 47 points in the first light. So that's good.
In Madison, the Wisconsin Badgers beat the Ohio State Buckeyes 70-60. That was Greg Gard's 200th career win as head coach. Marquette on the road in Chicago went into overtime with DePaul, but pulled out an 85-83 win over the Blue Demons. In the NFL, Packers quarterback coach Tom Clements announcing he's decided to retire. He is 71 years old. Running back A.J. Dillon says he'll return stronger than ever. Dillon spent all of last season on IR with a neck stinger. He's set to become a free agent. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A patch or two of freezing drizzle or flurries possible this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy tonight and rising temps through the 20s. Warmer tomorrow, more clouds, a high in the low 30s. Upper 30s Friday. For the weekend, much colder temperatures and a bitter breeze. Currently it's 19 degrees.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, we'll catch up with Melissa Kay from WFHR about Central Wisconsin news, and we'll talk to new state senator Jody Habesh-Sinikin.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6. This is 93.5 The Tap. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. I am your host, Dom Salvia. Thank you for sticking around with us. Just PS is on the board. Our co-host of the day, Matt Rothschild. You might know him from the Progressive Magazine, formerly of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, a civic media contributor and friend of ours. Matt, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's always fun, especially on a big news day.
Big news day. We're going to move on from the Gaza ceasefire hostage deal. We have lots of Trump folks that are getting their Senate hearings today, the least of which was Pam Bondi. I think it was like 5 or 6 today, or a lot going on today.
So full schedule.
A full schedule. So we gotta pick and choose, and I think Bondi is the one of import. I did see the Secretary of State candidate.
Rubio.
Senator Rubio from Florida. They're all going to skate through. I saw a statistic of how many candidates get rejected, and it was like 3%. And like the candidates for the party in power hasn't been rejected like 100 years. I mean, so these folks are generally going to slide through. Pam Bondi, she was a former attorney general for the state of Florida. Also did some other work overseas, representing lots of folks. So, you know, person's got to make some money. Don't hold that against them. Matt, did you happen to see the testimony today? And I was,
yeah,
go ahead.
I saw about an hour and a half of it. One funny thing was that she said, "Make America safe again." I swear to God, at least 35 times. Oh, might have been more. You'd have to check the transcript. But it got really silly. And then she one of the worst things, a couple really horrible things. One, she wouldn't flat out say that Joe Biden won the 2020 election. Even to this day, if you're a Trump sycophant, you cannot admit that Trump lost that election. Otherwise, you know, he'd dump you. And it's just ridiculous that she can't admit that 2 + 2 = 4 and that Biden won it fair and square. She talked about, you know, something going on in Pennsylvania. She visited Pennsylvania, and then she couldn't say any specifics about what was going wrong in Pennsylvania. Again, you know, just, I heard there were some bad things going on there, or I saw bad things. Well, what were the bad things? And there's nothing there.
There was nothing.
That was crazy. And also about the effort that Trump made, especially in the notorious conversation with the Georgia Secretary of State Raffensperger. She said she'd never even heard that actual conversation.
We've got that audio.
Let's play that, because it's totally unbelievable.
It is absolutely unbelievable. And then the hill you're going to die in is one is what that that Biden is the president. No, did he win the election? No, he's the president. I mean, it's such splitting hairs, and goes to show you, if you have someone in that position that is, let's call it, afraid or not willing to acknowledge that in those very specific terms, Of course, she's going to bend to the will of Donald Trump. And that's the takeaway. That's what all that means. I was struck, and I did get to see parts of it off and on. Chuck Grassley, the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. All right, so I'm not going to knock a guy who's 91, 3 months plus old. Not 91.
He showed
91
every,
years.
Every second of it, though.
Oh, come on, man. Move along, dude. Go
just...
live your life. Be with the great, great, great grandkids. I mean, you know, whatever it is. But chairing this committee, okay, people can do it. I guess he's going to do it. He did it. But what he did, what he said, the way he spoke about the Department of Justice being weaponized, and talked in terms like Donald Trump did absolutely zero, nothing wrong ever, ever, ever. And this was all just a basically, and he didn't say the words that I heard, but essentially agreeing with Trump. This is a witch hunt. This is weaponized justice. Never should happen. Oh, there you go. He went through his wife's underwear drawer. I mean, yeah, you know what? When the guy's been saying for over a year, yeah, you have all of our secret documents, and he's been lying the whole time. His lawyers go out there and say, yes, you have everything. And it comes to come to find out, no, you actually don't. And they actually have to go through finally because the guy's a lying bastard and won't give the stuff back. They got to go and find it. And we saw the pictures, not necessarily of the drawers, but we did see the boxes, you know, hoarded in the bathroom, stacked up. In the tub shower, stacked up past the curtain, we saw that happen.
To say nothing of January 6th, I mean, I read Jack Smith's whole report. I mean, the evidence is a mile high here.
Yeah,
that this guy committed crimes that he should have been prosecuted for if it weren't for the U.S. Supreme Court giving him a get out of jail free card.
So,
and they act like it was nothing was happening, like that it was all just a political. They were vendetta against Donald Trump when, you know, he was the first president who tried to overthrow our government.
And Matt, I want to get, we'll perhaps reflect on the Jack Smith report, but let's stay on target. Maybe we'll get to that after this. 855-752-4842. Just doing all the hard work.
Yeah.
I just sit here and look good. Just cuts it all up. Thank you, Jess. Appreciate it. Pam Bondi at the Senate Judiciary Committee. Dick Durbin, a Democrat from Illinois. And I got to give all these folks. We got sound from Dick Durbin, Senator Mazie Hirono from Hawaii, and newly appointed Senator Adam Schiff from California. Now, Schiff maybe went off the, I don't know, he went off the rails. He's very Adam Schiffy. But I thought the folks were very measured in their discussions. And I want to get your take on it as well. Dick Durbin starting out. This one's a little bit longer, 2 minutes, 30 seconds. But it gives you the flavor. And the very, very important question, the one that I wanted answered when we found out that Pam Bondi was going to be the candidate for Attorney General. Who won the 2020 election? Senator Durbin asking Pam Bondi. Let's hear it, Jess.
At issue, I believe, in this nomination hearing is not your competence nor your experience.
True.
At issue is your ability to say no. More than any other cabinet official, the Attorney General has to be prepared to put the Constitution first and even tell the President of the United States you're wrong. The political danger and personal costs of such a decision are well documented. You have only to ask former Attorney General Jeff Sessions and Bill Barr, whom Donald Trump sacked for lack of loyalty. And so I have three basic questions I'd like to ask you. Most Americans believe that central to the peaceful transition of power in a democracy is the acceptance of the results of an election. To my knowledge, Donald Trump has never acknowledged the legal results of the 2020 election. Are you prepared to say today under oath without reservation that Donald Trump lost the presidential contest to Joe Biden in 2020?
Ranking Member Durbin, President Biden is the President of the United States. He was duly sworn in, and he is the President of the United States. There was a peaceful transition of power.
What?
President
really?
Trump
peaceful?
Left office and
really?
Was overwhelmingly
once
elected
he left office.
In 2024.
Overwhelmingly?
Do you have any doubts that Joe Biden had the majority of votes, electoral votes, necessary to be elected president in 2020?
You know, Senator, all I can tell you as a prosecutor is from my firsthand experience. And I accept the results. I accept, of course, that Joe Biden is president of the United States. But what I can tell you is what I saw firsthand when I went to Pennsylvania as an advocate for the campaign. I was an advocate for the campaign, and I was on the ground in Pennsylvania, and I saw many things there. But do I accept the results? Of course I do. Do I agree with what happened? And I saw so much. You know, no one from either side of the aisle should want there to be any issues with election integrity in our country. We should all want our elections to be free and fair and the rules and the laws to be followed.
I think that question deserved a yes or no. And I think the length of your answer is an indication that you weren't prepared to answer yes.
No, she's not prepared to answer yes. She will never answer yes. And to her point, again, I've been a little bit critical. You know, it's easy for us here after the fact. Oh, you believe that we should have free and fair elections. Was the 2020 election a free and fair election? You know what I mean? Come on. A little bit more from Dick Durbin. Again, this is the Raffensperger question. Hey, you got when Trump was on the phone to Georgia election officials, you got to find me 11,780 votes. Oh, the answer, wholly insufficient. Let's play cut two, please, Jess.
Totally unbelievable.
Have you heard the recording of President Trump on January 2nd, 2021, when he urged the Secretary of State of Georgia to, quote, find 11,780 votes and declare him the winner of that state?
No, I've heard about it through clips, but no, Senator, I've not heard it.
What was your reaction to President Trump making that call?
I would have to listen to the tape, Senator.
What?
Well, the quote
everyone
that I
America
give you is exact. He said to the Georgia Secretary of State, find 11,780 votes.
Do you have the entire context of that call? I feel like it was much longer than that and may have been taken out of context.
It was an hour long.
Out of context.
You can certainly listen to it. I hope you will. Every American should. As a former prosecutor, are you not concerned that the President of the United States called a state election official and asked him to find enough votes to change the results of the election?
Senator, I have not listened to the hour-long conversation, but it's my understanding that is not what he asked him to do.
Oh, my God.
You need to listen to
it. It's exactly what he asked him to do.
I mean, that is...
And then he said if Trump told him that if he doesn't go along with it, he might be committing a crime and get in trouble for not finding those 11,800.
Oh, yeah, you want to hear it in the full context? Yeah, please play the additional threats that Trump leveled against these local election officials or state election officials. Oh, it might be out of context. Oh, you don't know enough. You haven't heard anything to comment on Trump saying, your boss saying, find me 11,780 votes, but you heard enough about it to know that it might be out of context. You know enough about it that it was an hour-long conversation. You seemingly know a lot about this conversation that you're not talking about. This is not about her competency or her experience. It's her lack of spine and her willingness to bend a knee to Donald Trump.
And this, you know, and again, she also was asked about whether what she thought about Trump saying that the rioters on January 6th were patriots. And again, she said, I'm not familiar with that statement. I mean, all this stuff is just
it seems
totally...
like potentially she's not familiar with a lot of material that she really needs to be.
Well, I mean, not familiar with the stuff, the crazy things that her boss has said, that the folks that attacked the police officers, the Capitol police officers in D.C. are patriots. That they're hostages. Oh, I haven't heard that. You know,
she represented him in his second impeachment.
She has no idea what you're talking about. That's a great point. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is Jess P.S. with the great points. Matt Rothschild joining me today as well. You see folks lining up on the phones and the text, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Coming back with your comments, plus a couple more senators talking to Pam Bondi.
Not to put too fine a bond on it. Say I'm the only
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
Hey, it's family time at Chula Vista with the right kind of fun for everyone. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, a rejuvenating spa visit, relaxing at outdoor fire pits, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park and outdoors with cross-country skiing, sledding, and snowshoeing. Dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Discover Chula's Winter Wonderland. Miles of freshly groomed trails, skiing, sledding, snowshoeing. Check out bonus gift cards at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Florida, former Florida AG Pam Bondi speaking to the Senate Judiciary Committee today, her nomination to be the United States Attorney General. I just got to say, I love the Guns N' Roses. I'm wearing my Guns N' Roses shirt right now, and that song, Rocket Queen. I mean, literally, that song's almost 40 years old. I mean, you got to be kidding. Oh, I know. It's like 38 years old. Come on. Just a little dating. I know, Matt, sometimes we feel old. But when I think about that, I mean, I'm feeling really old. 855-752-4842. Texters, callers always get priority. Mark, you've been the most patient. Welcome to the show, man. What do you got?
Yeah, thanks. And I think I saw something that refreshed in my memory. I looked at today that Pam Bondi had some kind of forgiveness of Trump over the whole Trump U thing, and she got $25,000 contributed to a campaign, and I can't help but think, that what the ancients thought of, judges taking bribes, accepting bribes.
It wasn't a bribe. It was a donation to her campaign. It was 15 or 25. I think, yeah, you're right. It might be 25,000. Donald Trump also gave it illegally. He was fined, I think, a 10% fee on top of that. It may have been from one of his charities. Anyway, so she declined to get in on the action. And in doing so, left out the citizens of Florida from collecting from the fraud from Trump University.
And I can't think about how long this is going to be before we start referring to Trump, and the he'll insist on being referred to the presidency in the 18th century, moniker of His Excellency the President of the United States, or rather than obedience to Donald Trump, it's going to be obeisance to Donald Trump, and we're going to grovel down before him like they do in the old Oriental court.
Come on, man! I don't grovel to anybody. I mean, President fraudster, President rapester. Sure, we can go down that road, and anyone who has a problem with me saying those things, well, maybe shouldn't vote for a fraudster or a rapist. Yeah, I said it. 855-752-4842. Jack from the Mac, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Well, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, just an observation on my hearing, some of the hearings today. It seems that Bondi was asked specifically, if President Trump tells you to do something illegal, will you say, no, I can't do that, like Billy Barr did before you, and I can't remember Barr's predecessor, but he was also fired for doing the same thing, saying, no, I can't do that, it's illegal. Will you do that? And guess what answer she gave? None.
I won't answer a hypothetical. Jack, thanks for the call. A lot of concerns about hypotheticals, and I didn't hear that, and maybe it's out of context, and those kinds of responses. Again, and thanks, but Jack, totally unacceptable for an attorney general.
Right. The problem I have, though, with that is after the U.S. Supreme Court decision, you know, if Trump tells her to do something, it's by the fact that he told her to do it, it's legal.
Yeah.
That's the crazy universe we're living in right now.
Yeah. And that is, we're going to find out, you know, we're going to find out. This is what we, some of us wanted, you know, less than 50% of the voters wanted this. And we're going to find out. 855-752-4842. Mark from Sussex, he texts in, he's prolific here today. He says, just an embarrassment for Democrats the last 2 days. Shameful. He goes on to say that Bondi kicked butt today. And also, can always tell when Dom gets heated. Speed up and talk louder. So simple to read him. Mark, yes, I am simple to read, man. When I get fired up, I get loud and I talk fast. Yeah. Amazing. You don't have to fake it with me, Mark. Shameful. The criticisms of folks like Mark and the conservatives on how the Democrats have been addressing, and specifically what we've dived into, the Pete Hegseth yesterday, Pam Bondi, we have some more cuts from there today. Matt, do you think that the Democrats' conversations and inquiries to these nominations have been shameful?
I wouldn't say shameful. I wish they were stronger, though. I mean, I got to agree there with Mark that, you know, Durbin was kind of gentlemanly lawyer-like in his approach. White House, I saw a little bit. I thought he was going to be a little stronger. He sounded like he was going to be tougher, and it wasn't, that strong. Hirona, I thought, was strong. She probably was the strongest and most showed the most appropriate disdain. That's what I wanted. Just, you know, enough of you're not answering my questions. I'm not buying it for a minute. I got that attitude from her, and I like that about it. And I wanted more of that.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's the upper chamber. It's the more distinguished chamber. So they're they try to ease up a bit. Let's squeeze in Senator Hirono if we can, please. Let's play the one cut.
Next segment, man.
Come on, man. We got a minute. Are you kidding me?
All right, fine.
Thank you.
I do have questions and concerns about potential conflicts of interest, about whether you will keep DOJ's law enforcement responsibilities independent of the president's political whims, and about whether you will let facts and evidence guide your decisions. So let's start with the importance of facts, which you say is important. Ms. Bondi, we want an attorney general who bases decisions on facts. So I want to ask you a factual question. Who won the 2020 presidential election?
Joe Biden is the president of the United States.
What a wimp.
Ms. Bondi, you know that there is a difference between acknowledging it. And, you know, I can say that Donald Trump won the 2024 election. I may not like it, but I can say it. You cannot say who won the 2020 presidential election.
She can't say it. She won't say it. It's disturbing. It is disturbing, and yeah. She should be disqualified for the role. She was out there as an election denier, and now she's going to be the Attorney General of the United States. Folks, stick around. Come back with us more on the Adam Schiff, Senator Schiff also asking questions of Pam Bondi. Your calls, your text, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin's frozen road law will be in place for all highways in the state beginning Thursday. According to the Department of Transportation, the frozen road law allows trucks to carry heavier loads for things like logs, salt, and sand during the winter months. The law was already in place in the northern portion of the state, but DOT officials monitor road conditions in the southern regions to ensure the roads are frozen enough to handle the increased weights. The DOT website also features an interactive map covering seasonal weight restrictions. Some Wisconsin residents are not a fan of the Department of Transportation's new winter road condition labels, starting a petition to bring back the old labels on the 511 Wisconsin app. The DOT uses the app to share road condition updates with drivers and recently replaced some labels like slippery and snow or ice covered with broader labels. They say the previous labels included conditions that could change quickly, leaving their map inaccurate at times. Critics say the old labels were important for delivery drivers who needed more specific updates. The city of Eau Claire is asking residents to participate in a sidewalk repair project in 2026. Officials are asking residents to report unsafe sidewalks that are in need of repair around the area. Sidewalks that are uneven or have gaps that could cause a pedestrian to trip and fall can be reported to the city engineering office online or over the phone. After receiving the submissions, city officials will begin evaluating which sidewalks should be fixed in 2026. The city is currently planning to conduct 75 repair projects in 2025. The Rice Lake Police Department is investigating a forgery attempt at Johnson Bank earlier this month. According to a statement, a yet-to-be-identified individual reportedly attempted to cash a check at the bank with a driver's license and Social Security card that matched the name on the check. Bank officials say they refused to cash the check, however, as the suspect was not the same person as the driver's license. Authorities say the suspect is a white man who was wearing a neck brace, but bank cameras were unable to get a clear picture. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Seven-time Super Bowl champ and one-time husband, Tom Brady, has come under fire all year long for his on-air gaffes while providing color commentary during NFL games. During last week's game between the Packers and Eagles, Brady accidentally referred to the Eagles as the Phillies, then later in the broadcast referred to Packers running back Josh Jacobs as Brandon Jacobs. This comes on the heels of Brady forgetting the name of one of the teams that beat the Packers during a recent telecast. In addition to Brady misspeaking, when his broadcast partner talks to him, he often nods his head so much, a viewer could get vertigo. Yeah, he's not that great, but people on social media are losing their minds over his missteps. Word to the wise, if it's brilliant elocution you're looking for, don't try to find it on an NFL pregame broadcast from the guy who took shots to the head well into his middle age. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A patch or two of freezing drizzle or flurries possible this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy tonight and rising temps through the 20s. Warmer tomorrow, more clouds, a high in the low 30s. Upper 30s Friday. For the weekend, much colder temperatures and a bitter breeze. Currently it's 19 degrees.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So somebody on the other side is clearly supporting something that is wrong, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street. I think if we all would become open to talk and dialogue, we could get somewhere. The space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey folks, Jimmy K here from Max Inc. Radio. Join me this weekend as I welcome Isaiah and the New People. Plus, Terry chats with jazz musician Janet Plant. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Jess P.S. on the board, trying to keep me on track, doing the best she can. Thank you, Jess.
I'm trying,
man. Matt Rothschild at the desk as well. You folks on the lines, 855-75-CIVIC. The original Claire, she texts in, "Hey, Dom, Senator Hirono rocks. I was very impressed." Yes, she is lighting it up. Steve chimes in, "The lineup for musicians at the inauguration, I definitely won't be watching. It's super Confederate to me. Agree, question mark?" Well, Steve, perhaps we'll get there as well. We have a little bit more from the testimony today. Testimony conversations, the Senate Judiciary Committee grilling Pam Bondi, Trump's pick to be the attorney general. Our final cut of the day, Senator Adam Schiff. You know, Donald Trump's favorite, Shifty Schiff, all the names. Schiff.
One of the enemies from within.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see if Pam Bondi comes after Adam Schiff. I mean, this is some intrigue going on here. If you think that the J6 committee and these efforts by the Democrats to somehow, some way, in the only way they can, outside of the judiciary, to hold these folks accountable for their, attempt to overthrow the government. Call it what you want. That's what I call it. You could call it seditious conspiracy. You call it treason. But we all can agree that he got away with it. Here is Adam Schiff speaking hard to Bondi, questioning the hard truths to the president. Let's play cut three, please.
My questions now are, can you tell hard truths to the president? So let me start with an easy truth that you could speak to the president. Can you tell us, can you tell him that Donald Trump lost the 2020 election? Can you say that? Do you have the independence to say that? Do you have the gravitas, the stature, the intestinal fortitude to say, Donald Trump, you lost the 2020 election? Can you tell us that here today?
Senator, what I can tell you is I will never play politics. You're trying to engage me in a gotcha. I won't do it. I won't play politics with any ongoing investigation like you did leaking your colleague Devin Nunes' memo.
If you can't answer the question, let me ask you a different, what should be a simple truth, not a hard one. Was there massive fraud affecting the result of the 2020 election, yes or no?
Senator, I'm glad you asked that question, if you'll let me answer what I saw in Pennsylvania.
No, I asked a simple question about massive fraud.
I can only tell you what I saw in Pennsylvania.
I know you want to answer a different question, but my question is, can you tell us whether there was massive fraud affecting the results of the 2020 election, yes or no? Was there or was there not?
I can tell you what I saw when I went as an advocate to the campaign.
That's not my question. So you can't answer that question. You can't speak that even easy truth to us, let alone to the president.
Easy truths sometimes aren't so easy. You know, truth is sometimes the hardest thing to swallow. That's why a lot of folks like to eat up the lies. I'm talking to you, Mega. Matt, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, she wouldn't answer his questions. She can't, to this day admit that Trump lost fair and square against Joe Biden. She keeps mentioning Pennsylvania. I still haven't heard the specifics. I wish she had gotten time to talk about what the specifics were.
What specifics?
I don't think she's got any, but she keeps throwing it out there. So it's kind of horrifying to me that the next Attorney General of the United States can't just admit, that the sky is blue and 2 + 2 = 4.
The Washington Post reporting, while discussing her work in Pennsylvania, Bondi seemed to make a point to emphasize that she was serving as an advocate for Trump. Interesting. Quote, "What I can tell you is what I saw firsthand when I went to Pennsylvania as an advocate for the campaign. I was an advocate for the campaign, and I was on the ground in Pennsylvania, and I saw many things there. Many, many things There were stuff and things and issues and lots of things that I can't articulate for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of things.
Mm-hmm. Too many
60
stuffs.
Court cases that
All
they
the
lost.
Things.
60 plus court cases that they lost. A recount that happened here, right here in the state of Wisconsin, Dane County, Milwaukee County. The result of that recount in Milwaukee, anyway, Trump got less votes. You know what I mean? So this is the, and I wonder historically, Matt, how this is going to play out. You know, we talked about Reagan earlier and the Iran-Contra and some folk, or not Iran, the Iranian hostages in the Carter and Reagan election. A lot of folks apparently not aware of those things. The Iran-Contra issue, as you talked about earlier. A lot of folks aren't aware of that. Or even if there's some story out there, well, it wasn't as bad as I thought. I mean, this is the active, as we're listening to it, the rewriting of history by these folks that Donald Trump is going to put into these positions of power. They're doing it actively. Hell, Chuck Grassley started out by rewriting history. Matt,
It's not going to work ultimately, though. Historians are going to say this is the worst guy who was ever president of the United States, that he was committing insurrection or treason against our democracy. And that's why Jack Smith did us all a service by publishing that report. In one sense, he was trying to defend what he did. In another sense, I think he was just laying it out for future historians. When you're looking back at this period 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 50 years from now, what happened actually? You know, because there's all this smoke about, oh, there was nothing there. There was a fire there. And Jack Smith was the one who was, pointing to it. And, I just read that report. I think he did a great job in pointing out all the crimes that Trump could have been convicted of if it weren't for the U.S. Supreme Court.
50 years or 100 years from now, when our descendants are rummaging through the burning rubble of our democracy, they'll find that Donald Trump did something way back in the day to no consequence. We'll get to that as well. Folks, your calls are welcome right now, 855-752-4842. Pam Bondi, not about her competence, not about her experience. It's about her undying loyalty to the orange man. Very concerning. L.A. Tom, you are up. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Yeah, it'll be interesting if we even have civics or history to actually look back at in the future, since we didn't have civics since Reagan. It's just, I'm so, Dominic, I don't know if it's these fires or what that get my emotions going so much, but the thing is, I am so sick of Republicans pushing back on things, and Democrats don't. Even our commentators, Matt, I'm sorry, like you, Dr. Craig, nobody pushes back. Everyone tries to be sensible and let's look at this. No, and what did the Democrats do wrong? We never, ever, right now.
Okay, hang on, Matt. Let me ask you. We played some of the sound of the senators, and I thought between yesterday and today, Mazie Hirono, the senator from Hawaii, I thought Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth. But Dick Durbin did a pretty decent job, and he was pretty calm about it. Wasn't freaking out, wasn't yelling, wasn't swearing. But do you think that the folks that are asking the questions of these nominations are doing a good job?
I mean, I thought Durbin could have been tougher. I wanted him to be tougher. I wanted White House even to be tougher. I don't know why L.A. Tom took a stray shot at me. I've been criticizing the Democrats for not being tough for you.
L.A. Tom, come on, man. What do you say? Yeah, go ahead.
The reason why is because of the fact that Joe Biden has been working on this deal for a year and a half in terms of his issue that was happening. Netanyahu is the one that's been dragging his feet this whole time until Trump became, the winner. These people in Michigan and other places, and I'll say the far left, are the ones that actually lost us this election. Because of this whole Gaza thing.
No, that's crazy.
But the thing I will say this, why are the Democrats not on fire right now about the idea that they may not put the flags at half mast for Jimmy Carter? This is something that should just be something that if this happened on the Republican side where Ronald Reagan, they weren't going to put the flags at half mast for him for 30 days. Oh, my God, it would be the end of the world.
Well, yes, Tom, but those were the old days, man, and this is the new day. And I'm not sure that's the hill that people want to die on. Matt, your thoughts?
Yeah, there are more things to be outraged about than that issue. But look at the far left did not cost Kamala Harris the election here. The issue in Gaza did not cost the election. Maybe in Michigan it hurt her. But I'm not going to fault any Palestinian American who didn't vote for Kamala Harris because their aunts and uncles or nieces and nephews were being slaughtered in Gaza. I'm not going to blame them for not voting for Kamala Harris. Look, if I was one of them, I might not have voted for Kamala Harris either.
And the response, of course, then is, well, what, you're going to vote for Donald Trump? Is that going to help out your Palestinian relations anymore? Again, you know, we're not personally involved in, war and hostage taking and death and destruction and the murder of women and children. Always bad. There's no upside to that. But we run elections. We live in a political world, and those things are interpreted by the electorate, and they make those decisions. And we'll see if it ends up being better or worse in the next 4 years. I mean, elections have consequences, as they say. Matt, 855-752-4842. Nick from Madison, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, thanks for getting me. Sorry, I just finished a Dorito, so I'm swallowing.
Cotton mouth? Come on, man. Take a swig. You're fine. What are your thoughts?
No. It's all good, man. But, what I wanted to say was, and this is what I said to Maggie earlier in the day, is that Donald Trump is a horrible president. Kamala Harris would be a horrible president. This is the best we can do? Seriously? This is the best we can do? This is the best we have to offer?
Go ahead, Matt.
I wouldn't make any analogy between Trump and Kamala Harris. Let me stand up for Kamala Harris for a second, because I thought she ran a real classy, dignified campaign. She worked her tail off. She beat the living crap out of Donald Trump during that debate. Anyone who watched it has got to conclude that, Trump just got demolished there. She did come out with some issues that would help people in the working class, including, trying to get at the price gouging at the supermarket and building new homes for people because we have a housing crisis. She acknowledged that. I thought she ran an admirable campaign. I would have changed some things in hindsight, but hindsight's, 2020. So I'm not going to stand here and listen to Nick, trash Kamala Harris.
No question. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And if you look at Kamala Harris's resume as it pertains to public service, coming up in California, prosecutor or attorney general of California, becoming a senator from California, becoming a vice president, and eventually a presidential nominee. Those things don't just happen. Circumstantially, certainly, Biden could have got out. I mean, this thing could have been entirely different if Joe Biden was stuck to his guns and became the bridge that he said he was going to be. And unfortunately, he decided he was not only the bridge, he was going to be the highway after the bridge. And that ship wasn't sailing, man. And I don't care what Biden says, he would not have won, not coming off of that debate. So Annie from Watertown, she texts in leading reason folks didn't vote, Gaza. A lot of folks didn't vote, Matt. I think that was a big disappointment. Again, considering the stakes in this election. Now, Annie thinks that one of those reasons was because of the Gaza situation. Perhaps was it to that percentage? I don't know if I would agree with that statistic. But at the end of the day, man, millions of people stayed home, Matt.
Yeah, they stayed home. Maybe some stayed home because of Gaza. But if you look in the polls on issues, Gaza was down at like 14% as the most important issue, somewhere in that range. Whereas the economy, inflation, those were at the top. Immigration was high, too. Those were the two biggest issues. So I got to think people didn't think the Democrats had enough answers on the big issues that were affecting their lives or that they were scared about.
And they believed what the Republicans were selling them. Let's just be honest about it. Donald Trump is a hell of a spokesman. He is a hell of a grifter, and he convinced folks. And now we'll see. Are they going to hold Donald Trump's feet to the fire? Is Donald Trump going to do in the very first day? Is the Ukraine war going to end now that this is happening? Is Russia pulling back out of Ukraine? What happens to the price of eggs? Where's inflation? Inflation is, we're not going to maybe get those interest rate cuts from the Fed if the economy stays where it's at and the inflation rate stays where it's at and slightly increasing. That's going to be on Donald Trump. Will he get the blame or the credit? Well, he certainly should. Come back with us one final segment, 855-752-4842.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. Every day, ZipRecruiter helps people who are actively looking for jobs like yours. So it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Our recent reporting explored the massive contributions to Donald Trump's inaugural fund, reportedly reaching $170 million. What are the rules as to how that money is spent? The short answer is, there aren't any. The Federal Election Commission allows private donations to support inaugural activities. This year, that's a parade, a rally, 2 luncheons, a tea, 3 dinners, 3 inaugural balls, and fireworks at Trump's Sterling Golf Club. The FEC requires reporting of donations over $200, but sets no limits or dictates how it's used. Let's say that the Trump inauguration has 12 events and they cost an astronomical $2 million each, a whopping $24 million. That leaves $146 million left. When the inauguration is over, will we know how the leftover money will be used? We won't. While a Trump campaign source told the New York Times some would be used for Trump's presidential library, there are no rules dictating how that money is used. The Inaugural Fund Integrity Act is expected to be reintroduced in Congress in January, which would set a limit of $50,000, require immediate disclosure of contributions over $1,000, and ban corporate and super PAC donations. That's a start, but the legislation still doesn't require disclosure of how that extra money gets spent. Find out more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, final segment of the day. If you got something to say, feel free to hit us up, 855-752-4842, 855-757. We've been trying to, and sometimes I forget. End.
Every time, Dom.
It's got to be on the wall. It's got to be on the board. It's got to be right in front of me all the time. Tell us something good. We want to end the show on a high note, something positive. Tell us something good. I know Jess, you and Matt were scheming behind my back today. So what's the status?
Well, I asked for some poetry because Matt has just wonderful collections of poetry. He's curated just this wonderful library of poetry that can help us to find some wisdom in the world and find some peace. So,
you know, I did, when I was editor at the Progressive Week, one of the favorite things I did was publish one original poem a month. And so Jody Vandermolen and I would look at the manuscripts and we'd have, you know, 30. We wouldn't say what the poet's name was because we wanted to be blind and reading it and not be influenced. Oh, this person's got a name, that person doesn't. And it was really rewarding just to pick an original poem every month, especially from someone who we didn't know before or didn't have a big reputation, and just publish that. Although we were able to get some great poets in there, like Martina Spada and others as well. And June Jordan wrote for us too. So anyway, poetry has been a love of mine. Birds are a long-standing love of mine. We have a poem here by the great poet Wendell Berry, who's got birds in this poem too. And he talks about, you know, what do you do when all hell's breaking loose and the world's going to hell in a handbasket? So here's Wendell Berry with a beautiful baritone voice.
The peace of wild things. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free.
I just love that poem. It was a very famous poem. He wrote it during the Vietnam War when bombs were falling all over Vietnam. And he couldn't stay. He was a anti-Vietnam War protester. He's about 90 years old now, Kentucky farmer, environmental activist, just a tremendous individual, still writing short stories and poems and novels.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's pretty, isn't it? I mean, nature is a great place for solace in crazy times. And it's for your health too. Just going out and taking a walk for 10 minutes a day is supposed to be really good for your health. And if you can go into the woods or go into, you know, Wisconsin's got great parks. Milwaukee's got great city parks. We've got great state parks and county parks in this state. And if you can just find any time just to go out there, you know, see a wood duck like he's talking about, or a heron. Most of them are gone south now, but there's still some in the woodpeckers every day, and those those guys give me some pleasure too. So, you know, I just encourage people to enjoy nature, enjoy poetry, enjoy art and music like you do, Dom. I mean, there are ways to stay healthy and invigorated and off screen, you know, if you're at CNN.com or NewYorkTimes.com all day long, or if you're watching cable news, God forbid, it can get pretty depressing.
Well, a lot of my music's angry music, Matt, so I'm not sure that that's really what we're trying to get to. But I do think, and that was a beautiful poem, and thank you for sharing that and putting that out there. And the, you know, being in nature, and I grew up out in the country, and I think sometimes, you know, I take it for granted. When I was out in the country, I wanted to be in the city, you know what I mean? And now we're in the city, and I've really come back around to the nature and going out for the walks and enjoying the peace and the quiet, and to shut everything out and to just, you know, listen and be present for a moment and hear the different sounds going on around. And, you know, if you're in the city parks, you know, there's certainly going to be, you know, some cars in the background, but you also have, you know, the water and the birds and the wind and the leaves and all those things. And I think it is important because we're going to have, you know, times in our lives and maybe some of those are coming up again where we have, you know, difficult, you know, emotional, mental kind of things going on and how to process and what everything means. And, you know, above and beyond the everyday kind of challenges that we have, these external things. And one of the things I've found to be helpful is to focus on the things that you can control. You know, we talk about a lot of these issues on politics, and, you know, none of these things are under our control. We're reporting on what happened, but we cannot control those things. And if we try to put our will into changing issues and things in the world that we cannot actually change and control, it gets really frustrating. So it's not about, you know, making the change. It's about making the change that you can make, because some things you can't do alone. Some things take a little more effort. Some things take a village, take a team, take a world. But you can control your actions. You can control how you think. You control the words that come out of your mouth. And sometimes it's a good exercise to maintain a little clarity in those regards. Final thoughts, Matt.
Yeah, I just think, you know, we need to take care of ourselves. We need to appreciate the people around us, you know, our families, our friends. They can get us through this period. We can get through this period together. We can't get through it alone. And we can't obsess about the things, as you say, we can't control.
All right. Jess, any final thoughts today?
Ditto.
Ditto. Thank you so much for listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you, Matt Rothschild. We'll see you again next week. Thank you, Jess P.S. on the board, trying to keep me in line. All you can do is try. Thank you to our fair audience. Stick around. Peach Schwabe, Nightlight coming up next. We will be back tomorrow. Have a wonderful evening.
The Tap. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll remember the life and impact of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We'll listen to excerpts from his speeches and discuss how it relates to the present day.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. Matt Nair on air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks. are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first. Wait,
have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he just drives, he's going...
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Biden and President-elect Donald Trump are both taking credit for the ceasefire and hostage release deal between Israel and Hamas. Mr. Biden says the deal was based on a proposal he floated last spring.
Fighting in Gaza will stop, and soon the hostages will return home to their families.
CBS's Willie James Inman has a preview of Biden's farewell address to the nation tonight from the Oval Office.
The president says it was the privilege of his life to serve the nation during his 50-year political career.
In Southern California, the Palisades and Eaton fires continue to burn out of control with winds gusting to 35 miles per hour. CBS's Danya Backus says crews are returning to the neighborhoods that were destroyed.
Here in the fire-affected neighborhood of Pacific Palisades, crews are checking gas lines, down power lines, and in worst-case scenarios, uncovering human remains. All steps necessary before allowing residents to return.
At least 25 people died in the fires. 26 are missing. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
Local radio.